1190 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media
News
app.
I'm Mark Remillard. President Biden on Friday saying that a deal on the debt ceiling with House Republicans is, quote, very close as negotiations continue. The Treasury Department now says it expects the U.S. will default on June 5th if no deal is reached. The Texas State House is expected to vote on Saturday whether to impeach embattled Republican State Attorney General Ken Paxton. Paxton calling on supporters to demonstrate at the Capitol.
They are showcasing their absolute contempt for the electoral process.
He faces 20 articles of impeachment ranging from bribery to abuse of public trust. Two suspected Chinese government agents have been arrested in connection with an alleged plot to disrupt and ultimately topple an exiled anti-communist spiritual movement called Falun Gong, which is based in New York City. Two more members of the Oath Keepers being sentenced to years in prison for their role in the January 6th riot at the Capitol. One member sentenced to 9 years in prison, while the other was given 4 years. This is ABC News. Growing calls for accountability following a report on the death of a Navy SEAL candidate last year. ABC's Martha Raddatz.
The report citing what it called a near-perfect storm with lack of leadership, insufficient risk assessment, and wholly inadequate medical monitoring and care following the notorious Hell Week. 24-year-old Kyle Mullen had successfully finished Hell Week in February of 2022. Then was released by medical staff to his barracks, even though his lungs were deemed abnormal and his legs so swollen he was wheelchair-bound.
Mullen later died. Jessica Watkins, a member of the Oath Keepers, has been sentenced to nearly 9 years in prison for her actions during the January 6th riot at the Capitol.
Watkins tried pleading for leniency, tearing up before the judge, saying she was just another idiot running around the Capitol. But the judge at sentencing saying Watkins was far more than a foot soldier.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job, but I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday, Memorial Day, Friday Eve edition. Now I'm working for a long weekend, aren't you, buddy?
I cannot wait, Crudy. Good to see you. Aaron, working the board once again. Thank you and our fair audience. Happy, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Very excited. I can hear it in your voice, Aaron.
I'm just not always that animated of a speaker, which is unfortunate considering I work in radio.
Yes. It's Friday Eve, man. You gotta bring it a little bit.
That's true. All right. It's Friday Eve. We're going into Memorial Day weekend.
I got some emotion in there, man. Let's see it.
You know, I'm starting to like it. That's getting a little closer. You know, we'll leave room for improvement, though. Dom, a quick headline, and we don't need to get into it. Not at this point, but the fake electors. Here in the great state of Wisconsin, no indictments. It's not Josh Calday. But the civil lawsuit in Frank Remington's courtroom in the Dane County jurisdiction, that's the district court, well, they've scheduled a trial date, Dom, for September of 2024. So the actions from December of 2020, when they, you know, these 10 Republicans from the great state of Wisconsin made a fraudulent, I would say criminally fraudulent claim that they were the valid state electors here in the great state of Wisconsin, despite the fact Joe Biden had won the, 21,000 more votes than Donald Trump had. Yet they went to the Capitol after the final ruling of the Wisconsin Supreme Court had it dropped that day, December 14th of 2020, and they said, no, we vote for Trump. They weren't even the valid electors. They were fraudulent electors. And criminally, they signed their names to a piece of paper and they said they were the valid electors and that Trump won the vote. Trump was their selection here in the state of Wisconsin. So can't seem to get the sitting attorney general, Democrat Josh Call, to, you know, take our calls on this topic, Dom. Last time I talked to Josh about this was last June.
Almost June, wow.
At the Democratic Party event, La Crosse, Wisconsin, had Josh on the show. You weren't there that day. And Josh said, you know, we're looking at this multi-jurisdictional investigation and, you know, we're waiting on the federales, basically. We're waiting on the federal Department of Justice. Well, that day may never come. What about the state crimes they committed? But anyway, civil trial, it's not the same, Tom. It's not the
same. No, it's not the same. The plaintiffs are seeking punitive damages of up to $2.4 million, which, great if you can get it, but again, that's not addressing the criminality of their actions.
Somewhat unsatisfactory, sort of like the civil finding that the former President Donald Trump was a, what, sexual abuser. Not a finding of rape under civil litigation, but a finding of what, sexual abuse.
Sexual abuse, sexual battery.
But it doesn't put his ass in jail, does it now?
No, it doesn't.
And I'm not clear that the crime would be worthy of jail for these fraudulent electors, although, you know, that's up to the courts.
Well, I think it depends on to what degree involved in the conspiracy they were. And I don't even know if they have to be aware of the level of conspiracy they were involved with. Because this was one of many states that were doing the same thing under what? Under the pressure from Trump and his cronies in the White House to try to come up with a plan to hold on to power. Right? That's exactly what this is. That was part of the spoke in the wheel of that corruption. So it's not just what they did here. It's what the domino effect would have been had they been successful in pursuing this coup. Let's call it what it is.
Dominic, the QAnon shaman is already out of jail.
All right, book deal.
And we haven't even dealt with the fake, the fraudulent, the criminally claiming false electors here in the state of Wisconsin. Their trial next year, and the QAnon shaman's already been to trial, been convicted, been to jail. He got a 41-month sentence, Dom. Now he's been released from a halfway house. You know, because he's sort of half man, half creature.
I mean, September of 2024, and here in Wisconsin when they met was December 14th of 2020, almost 4 years later, to go to trial on a civil case? Man. Come little, on, Josh, pick little, up your game. What else are you going to do?
A little unsatisfying.
Yeah, it's very unsatisfying.
As to Jacob Chansley, that's the QAnon shaman, Dom, that Arizona man who became the face of the January 6th insurrection, he's now a free man. Chansley, the 35-year-old known as QAnon shaman, was released from a Phoenix halfway house Thursday, Law and Crime reports citing the Bureau of Prisons. Senior U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth described Chansley as the very image of the riot in the November 2021 before sentencing him to 41 months. November of 2021, Dom. That was less than a year after the crime he committed. Again, we're getting a civil trial 4 years later with no actual ramification, except maybe a civil forfeiture. I mean, money hurts, but not as much as jail time.
Right.
I've been fined and I've been
felon serving some time. I mean, quite a fall from grace for those 10 Republicans who engaged in this fraud.
I have been fined and I have been incarcerated.
Yeah.
Pay the fine.
Yeah,
pay the fine
write
every
the check
time.
And the sleep on the mattress.
Oh, at least you get a mattress. Some lose the mattress. Here's what it's being stated by his attorney, the QAnon shaman's Albert Watkins. Chansley worked diligently during his period of confinement to take advantage of the opportunities accorded by his plea deal to reduce the time he was required to serve. The Court and Bureau of Prisons recognized his effort. I sincerely wish Jake the absolute best as he moves forward with his life. Perhaps a job at State Farm. He's got the right name for it. Although Chansley claimed to have peaceful intentions, he shouted, "Time's up, effers!" as he entered the Senate chamber. Months before the insurrection, Chansley posted incendiary rhetoric on social media, according to the report. "We shall have no real hope to survive the enemy's raid against us until we hang the traitors lurking among us," he wrote on November 19th, 2020 in a Facebook post. Chansley, in an NBC interview after the attack at the Capitol, called the insurrection, "Well, it was a win, Dom. The fact that we had a bunch of our traitors in office hunkered down, put on their gas masks, and retreat into their underground bunker, I consider that a win." Well, the fact that this guy got out of jail today, Dom, I consider that a bit of a loss.
You know, I sincerely hope he received and continues to receive the presumable mental health that he probably needs. And I, you know, hopefully it changed him for the better, but I'm hopeful in that regard, in that regard. But, you know, these are some very out there folks. The founder of the Oath Keepers today,
Stuart Rhodes,
sentenced to 18 years in federal prison. The judge told him, quote, "You, sir, present an ongoing threat and a peril to this country and to the republic and to the very fabric of this democracy," Amit Mehta said before handing down the sentence.
18 years.
18. Another Oath Keeper sentenced, my understanding, to 12 years.
Dave Beggs, well. I believe his name, the other convicted perpetrator of seditious conspiracy, right?
And to my understanding, Rhodes is not, you know, he's not regretful. He's saying, you know, this is still a conspiracy against him and, you know, political persecution. He'd still vote for Trump. Still calling for a regime change as recently as reported a couple of days ago. So Stuart Rhodes, 18 years, but man, he's a believer. He's not changing his mind.
Well, Dominic, you know, where I really want to get to is that craptacular rollout of the Ron DeSantis campaign.
Yeah.
He went on the Twitter spaces, and I think we've got some sound we're going to bring back in the next segment. So you're going to have to stick around for that. But after the craptacular rollout, Dom, chock full of tech glitches. I mean, if he overcomes it, you know, he'll get by it. But if he never does, it will, you know, go down in history of the embodiment of his campaign, this Twitter Spaces failure to launch. It was god awful.
It was pretty bad.
But anyways, Ron DeSantis then dutifully ran over to the Foxy News. And he then said, well, yeah, I'd strongly consider pardoning many of the patriots from January 6th, including the former president.
What I'm going to do is on day one, I will have folks that will get together and look at all these cases who people are victims of weaponization or political targeting, and we will be aggressive at issuing pardons. We'll be aggressive at issuing pardons. Now, some of these cases, some people may have a technical violation of law, but if there are three other people who did the same thing, but just in a context like BLM and they don't get prosecuted at all, that is uneven application of justice. We're going to find examples where we have governments have been weaponized against disfavored groups. We'll apply relief as appropriate. Asked about pardon for Trump. And that could be from a grandma who got arrested and prosecuted. How about Trump himself? I would say any example of disfavored treatment based on politics or weaponization will be included in that review, no matter how big or how small. Yeah. He'd pardon Trump. Of course he would. Any Republican would. That's why they don't belong anywhere near the levers of power. But unfortunately, Marquette University Law School polling here, state of Wisconsin, both Trump and DeSantis leading Biden.
That's not Wisconsin polling. That's national polling. Just for the record. Done by Marquette University. But that is a national poll. Still looks bad. Come back. We are the devil's advocates. We always sound super sexy and good. At least to my ears, hopefully to yours as well. Join us, 844-967-2789. The effervescent Aaron will screen your calls lightly.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 40 overnight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the south around 5 miles an hour. Highs level off around 74 tomorrow. Lots of sunshine outside. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows around 48. Mid-70s Sunday, turning warmer on Monday with highs in the low 80s. Another look at the short range. Lows level off around 40 overnight. High of 74 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 46.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We will take your calls at 844-967-2789, but be patient. We have some things we want to get to as well.
Dominic, let your freak flag fly. As the headline at Aaron Blake at the Washington Post, Trump versus DeSantis. It's about to get weird. Now, the subheadline, it wasn't just the botched Twitter launch. It was everything that followed. It what it portends in a party that has increasingly embraced provocationist policy. Troll the libs, right, Dom?
Do what it takes.
We tried with absolute sincerity to play some of the Ron DeSantis rollout, and it was a craptacular effort yesterday. And it did hurt the overnight ratings. I don't think people were overly enthused about that Twitter spaces. You didn't really know who was talking. And first they had up to like 900,000 people parked for the announcement. And then they moved it to a different Twitter space. And like 300,000 people followed them. And that was all they could get on because they were blowing up the servers, apparently. I mean, relative to even, you know, like CNN. CNN can handle capacity of over 300,000 viewers. They don't usually get it, but they can handle that sort of capacity. Dom, as it's written, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' glitchy Republican presidential campaign launch with Elon Musk on Wednesday night is getting all the attention. But don't sleep on the utter weirdness that followed, and apparently will continue. Shortly after the event, DeSantis' campaign set about trying to make lemonade from its lemons, chicken salad from its... I won't finish that one. His rapid response team released a bizarre web video featuring DeSantis' stilted, almost disembodied opening statement from the event, overlaid on seemingly random B-roll shots of not just DeSantis, but also, extensively, Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
There was Musk with a flamethrower. There was Musk hyping his Teslas. An elaborate and visually attractive event that was essentially the polar opposite of the DeSantis launch. There was a youthful Musk just sitting at a keyboard. There was DeSantis talking about the toll of fentanyl while the image showed him smiling and waving. It might have made sense as a video of DeSantis were announcing Musk as his running mate. Sharp emphasis on might. But Dom, then came Donald Trump's retort, and we're going to play some of this for you, our fair audience. This was pretty good. I'm going to give the Trump team a little bit of credit here. The mocking came quickly, Dom, and it was rather clever, I think. Seeking to capitalize on the botched rollout, he, Donald Trump, posted a vulgar AI video mocking the Twitter Spaces event. It featured a Dick Cheney coughing repeatedly over a hot mic. Let's not forget, that's what, Liz Cheney's old man. Now, I've never been a big fan, but I think Trump sort of soured on the Cheney family, if you know what I'm saying. It featured the FBI apparently randomly using Anderson Cooper's voice, asking, so how are we going to take Trump? Take out Trump, you guys. There was an Adolf Hitler represented. The devil. The devil was represented, Tom. And they were arguing about gay people. Trump talked about how Cheney would be dead soon and how DeSantis could kiss his big, beautiful 2024 ass. Well, Dom, we're not going to play at all because it's a little weird and bizarre, but...
it is totally weird. I'm not going to give him credit, man. This is some strange-ass stuff.
Well, it's at least as clever as the rollout. You know, it's a low bar at this point, but let's play it. This was the video put on the Instagram page of Donald Trump. It features a Twitter Spaces conversation with Elon Musk, Ron DeSantis, George Soros, Dick Cheney, Adolf Hitler, the devil, the FBI, and others. Let's play the first cut.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Ron DeSantis Twitter space.
Hello? Is my microphone working correctly?
George, can you just wait while we...
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can all hear you, George. Can you just hold on for a second?
Hilfa, I don't think they can hear me.
I can hear you fine, George. Just speak to the
microphone. I don't think George knows how to use Twitter.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Can I please make my big announcement now? Everyone just...
Hello?
Just shut up.
So it goes on like that for a while. And then, eventually, Ron DeSantis gets to make his big announcement. He's a little frustrated. He's been interrupted, you know. Sort of a failure to launch a few different times. But here is the AI DeSantis making the big announcement. Cut 11.
I'm running for f***ing president, okay?
And then Donald Trump kind of gets the last word in. And I think this is the real Donald Trump. It's posted on his page. Right? It's on his Instagram page.
Is it the real devil, too? Come on, man. I don't know. I mean, so...
But Donald Trump's in the campaign. He could actually... The devil's over here on the radio with us.
If it's actually Donald Trump and not some generation or some actor or whatever, it makes it even more strange.
What if it's the real Donald Trump? He went in the booth and he recorded this thing.
I just don't know, man.
Let's play Donald Trump, cut number 12. I took this a little personally, Dom, as the devil's advocates. Cut 12.
Hold your horses, Elon. The real president is going to say a few words. The devil, I'm going to kick your ass very soon. Hitler, you're already dead. Dick Cheney, sounds like you'll be joining Hitler very soon. Klaus Schwab and George Soros, I'm putting both your asses in jail. And Ron DeSanctimonious can kiss my big, beautiful 2024 presidential ass.
I'm telling you, that's Trump. There's no AI there. Why would you need AI to produce Trump telling DeSantis? And he called him by Ron DeSanctimonious, right? AI didn't generate that.
It's just so strange, man. That is really out there. This is the leading Republican candidate for the 2024 presidency. Really? That's the guy talking about the devil? I'll kick your ass. I'll see you soon. What? Really? Are you going to hell? Is that what's happening? What does he mean? Why even bring up Hitler? Why is that even a thing? I mean, I don't know, but when you start bringing Hitler images in on your political campaigns, I think you're going a bit too far. Folks, with the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Optimism from negotiators in Washington on the prospects of getting a deal done on the debt ceiling in time to avoid a government default. President Biden said Friday a deal is, quote, very close. Texas's State House has set a vote for Saturday on whether to impeach embattled Republican State Attorney General Ken Paxton over corruption and misconduct allegations.
Paxton calling for his supporters to protest at the Capitol.
This vote is expected to take place Saturday at 1 p.m. And I want to invite my fellow citizens and friends to peacefully come let their voices be heard.
Paxton faces 20 articles of impeachment. The director of a southern Indiana funeral home where 31 decomposing bodies and the cremated remains of 17 others were found has pleaded guilty to 40 counts of felony theft. Randy Langford could face a sentence of 12 years. Jurors in Los Angeles continue to deliberate in the retrial of That 70s Show actor Danny Masterson, who's charged with 3 counts of rape. This is ABC News.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates. Don't wanna be an American
idiot. Welcome back to The Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition. That makes tomorrow Friday, and it's rolling into a 3-day weekend, Memorial Day. Can't wait, Dom. Get away from your ass for a couple days.
You're going to miss me when I'm gone.
I doubt that, but, you know, sounds nice. Sure, I'll miss you extensively when you're gone. Nobody's missing Donald Trump much. You know what's interesting? The Ron DeSantis rollout, it was abysmal by damn near any standard. But I heard Righty Whitey Talk Radio defending it this morning. Dom, I think they're doing the math. They realize Donald Trump has proven to be a loser for the party, right? In 4 years, he lost the House, the Senate, the presidency. I mean, this is not exactly a track record of success. And those that do politics for a living, they've noted their team keeps losing, so they want a new representative at the top of the ticket. But they got Trump.
Do they really want that? They're kind of stuck with the guy. You know, they wanted something else before in 2016, too. I mean, Wisconsin was very anti-Trump. Hell, it was Ted Cruz, right? I mean, who took Wisconsin? Ted Cruz?
Ted Cruz won Wisconsin by double digits, about 13 points.
No one wanted Trump. Hell, Trump hung up on righty, whitey talker Vicky McKenna, if I recall.
He had a hell of a time with Charlie Sykes as well.
Oh, yes. Well, Sykes went on, and he's cashing it out at MSNBC. But, you know, we still have the conservatives on the radio here. They didn't want Trump then, and they're saying what? They don't want Trump now? But everybody, all the other Republicans, a majority of those Republicans, they want Trump, Crudy.
They do. They do want Trump. I was curious, though. I've asked, you know, my conservative friends, and that's a limited number at this late date. But I've asked them, you know, what do you think of this DeSantis character? He gets a lot of positive sentiment, you know, and I keep hearing stuff like, well, I like Trump's policies. You know, I told you the Runkelster, right? I like Trump's policies, but, you know, maybe he's the wrong messenger. So they like the fascism, but not the fascist? I mean, Ron DeSantis is fascist light. But if you're looking for a fascist lane in the Republican Party, I think Donald Trump already inhabits it.
So, Marquette University Law School poll, among registered Republican voters, Trump 46, DeSantis 25. And then Nikki Haley is down at 5 and the rest are lower.
Well, the rest of them are really insignificant in this race. It's a two-horse race. It's DeSantis and Trump. The rest do not matter, in my humble opinion, Dom. There was an article a couple days ago. I'm going to throw this headline, a couple of the lines out from it. The headline here, the quiet race to be the GOP's biggest loser in 2024 begins. Because it's not about winning. It's not about winning. Maybe it's about being, what, Trump's vice presidential pick? But it ain't about winning for anybody other than maybe DeSantis or Trump. Here is what Matt Bai writes at the Washington Post. I understand why Ron DeSantis thinks Republican primary voters might want an alternative to Donald Trump. I get why conservative stalwarts such as Nikki Haley and Chris Christie think the voters might welcome an alternative to DeSantis. What's less clear is why Chris Sununu and Asa Hutchinson would think that there's any market in today's Republican Party for a kinder, gentler voice. Do they really think a pro-governing pragmatist can win the nomination? The answer is probably not, but that doesn't mean there aren't other things. Celebrity, adoration, even financial opportunity to be won by trying. See where they're going here, Tom?
Oh, yes.
What did Rick Santorum ever do other than run for president and then cash in on the fact that he lost running for president? His whole career has been built on being a failed presidential candidate. In 2016, a lot of people wondered why John Kasich, then the governor of Ohio, got into the race late and then slogged through the months of primaries. Long after, it was clear that Donald Trump was cruising to the nomination. Kasich won exactly one state, his own. The author writes, I talked to Kasich a lot back then, and I can tell you, he wanted very much to be president and believed he could win, right up until the moment he knew he couldn't. But Kasich came away from that campaign with something that would have seemed unthinkable for most of his career, when he was largely reviled on the left as a blustery, union-busting religious zealot. By standing up to Trump and making the case for civility in public life, he became, at least in the eyes of a lot of Democrats, independents in the news media, the fatherly conscience of the Republican Party. There's an established template for this kind of campaign, and it goes back to 2000, when John McCain defied his party and tried to derail George W. Bush's highly choreographed march to the nomination. For most of his long career in Congress and the Senate, McCain, like Kasich, had been a reliable conservative vote on most everything. And his organization had exerted a distinctly undemocratic control over politics in Arizona. But in 2020, McCain ran expertly as a bombastic reformer in the tradition of Theodore Roosevelt, recasting himself as a truth-telling antidote to partisan extremism. In narrowly losing and incurring the contempt of his own party's leaders, he transformed himself, Dom, for a long moment, into the most popular and marketable politician in America. A maverick.
From 2000, that was. I'll continue here, Crudy. When McCain, who was nothing if not persistent, finally managed to wrest the nomination in 2008, largely by sucking up to Bush, he found, to his enduring frustration, that he had sacrificed his most powerful asset along the way. By trading in his maverick image for the role of Republican elder, he betrayed his most avid constituency. 4 years later, an obscure former governor named John Huntsman Jr., returned triumphantly from his post as ambassador to China to run on a similar platform of moderation and civility. He failed spectacularly, but even that debacle of a campaign was enough to elevate Huntsman to the role of minor statesman and frequent media guest. That's what it's all about, baby. Incidentally, all three candidates, McCain, Huntsman, and Kasich, relied on a renegade image maker named John Weaver, who can fairly be credited with pioneering this Republican strategy of winning over just about everybody but Republican voters. If this is the kind of campaign Sununu and Hutchinson have in mind, then ideology has little to do with it. Hutchinson, in fact, is about as socially conservative as you can get. What moderate, quote-unquote, means now, at least to the media and the left, is a refusal to demonize Democrats or cave to conspiracy theories. The bar has certainly been lowered, Crudy. Most of all, it means clearly condemning Trump and his insurrectionist movement. As the author writes, I suppose this would make Christie as moderate as anyone, but his previous ties to Trump make him a hard sell as a national healer. The odds of winning the nomination with this kind of strategy are probably close to non-existent, but the odds of emerging with a serious public platform, if you do it well, maybe a book deal or even a cable show, those are odds I would take. It's worth noting, though, that if Sununu or Hutchinson plan to audition for the role of lonely Republican statesman, they might have to reckon with some competition. Liz Cheney, the former Republican congresswoman who was banished by her party after voting for Trump's impeachment, hasn't ruled out an independent bid herself, and I wouldn't dismiss her chances. In the perennial primary that has become the conservative icon of NPR listeners and humanities professors everywhere, she's off to a commanding lead, Matt Bai writes at the Washington Post. Yeah, the quiet race to be the GOP's biggest loser in 2024.
There's only two of them actually running for the presidency. You realize that, right, Dom? Not Nikki Haley, not Tim Scott. It's DeSantis and it's Trump, and it's a bunch of losers. And quite frankly, based on the rollout yesterday, I would say you got to put DeSantis over in the column with the other losers, which means at least from a nomination point of view on the Republican side, I think still Donald Trump is your guy. He's the only obvious one. And, you know, to hear it being told on right-wing talk radio, we Dom, the Soros-funded left and whatever.
What, you got a check from Soros?
Well, the first one will be the first one. The next one will be the first one. But anyways, Dom, we, according to right-wing talk radio's own Daniel Donnell, we actually are trying to lift up Donald Trump because we know he's unelectable. And I think, well, that part you might have just gotten right. 844-967-2789. I'm only speaking for myself. I would like to see Donald Trump be the Republican nominee.
You know, That certainly has been a strategy, right, of literally of Democrats putting money behind hard, you know, mega candidates in statewide and local elections, right? I mean, that's, we've talked about that when they
can't see them financially supporting Trump in any way, shape, or form.
But this, I mean, that mindset's certainly there. They put money to do that, money that could have gone to, you know, other candidates. You know, perhaps we wouldn't have the insurrectionist out in the La Crosse area, if we'd put more money in
Van Orden. But they also, if you look at the support mechanisms and the donors to the left, let's call it, they also supported the candidacy of Dan Kelly in the primary, right? They trashed Jennifer Doro. They took her down as much as Kelly's candidacy did.
Right.
And they did so with intent. You know, the celebrity judge out of Waukesha County, well, she could have posed a different sort of candidate to Janet Protasiewicz than the twice loser Daniel Kelly, man. The guy was contemptuous, pompous. He was a known quantity as a loser. And the Democrats helped him win the primary so he could go on and get his ass handed to him in the general. I mean, strategically, mission accomplished.
Right. No doubt. But I think it's also can be, you know, dangerous if all of a sudden those wackadoodles win the election. And then where are you at? But, you know, for the most part, I believe that strategy has worked. But again, I'm not propping up Trump. I don't want anyone to vote for Trump. I think Trump's a POS. I think Trump's a disgrace to this nation. We can go on and on about it. You know, if you want to write somebody in, go run yourself. You'll be your own advocate. Represent your constituents. Represent your neighbors. You go do that. No, not Donald Trump. Don't vote for Donald Trump. That's a very bad idea.
Vote for me. I'll set you free.
That's right, man. 844-967-2789.
I was actually thinking we revived the D's Nuts campaign 2024. Call that kid in Iowa Brady.
Yeah, he's got to be old enough now. Well, how old he got
to
be?
Probably
now?
Old enough to vote, not old enough to run for president. He got to be right. 35. Bill from Oconomowoc, welcome. What do you got for us, Bill?
I'm going to ask you guys for some advice. Here goes. I believe the Democrats, the Republicans know they cannot win a normal election. They're scared. They realize they're a minority. So what are they? They're domestic terrorists. But yet, we give them the credibility and treat them like they're somebody special as a congressman that we should listen to. I don't think we should listen to any of them. We don't negotiate with terrorists, period. They know they're about to be called terrorists and labeled that because they committed an act of terrorism.
Define the act of terrorism. Are we talking about the January 6th or the debt ceiling where Matt Gaetz said, why would we negotiate with our hostage? Meaning what, the American people or the Democratic Party?
The January 6th was a terrorist act on the Capitol. Now, they took an oath not to do that, but they broke the oath. So let's fast forward to Matt Gaetz and the debt ceiling. They think they can strong-arm Biden into agreeing into paying the bills that they incurred. That's foolish. That's crazy. We lower our standards by even acknowledging that. The mere fact that we give them an audience is pathetic. They don't deserve it. They took an oath of office, and I'll quote exact chapter and verse. We take an oath to protect America from foreign and domestic terrorism. The FBI has labeled them domestic terrorists. That's why they got to wash out the FBI. They can't put up with this title of terrorist.
Bill, it's quite interesting that our conservative friends now want to defund the federales, the federal police, if you will. Defund the FBI. Come back.
I'm not saying all Republicans are terrorists, but a lot of those hard right white nationalist Christians are voting Republican.
Come back with us. Don't be a domestic terrorist. Be a fan of the Devil's Advocates. 844-96-PARTY.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy. Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 40 overnight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the south around 5 miles an hour. Highs level off around 74 tomorrow. Lots of sunshine outside. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows around 48. Mid-70s Sunday, turning warmer on Monday with highs in the low 80s. Another look at the short range. Lows level off around 40 overnight. High of 74 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 46.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open 844-967-2789.
Dominic, Mexican President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador on Thursday called on the Hispanic people in Florida to vote against Governor Ron DeSantis, who launched his 2024 White House bid the day before because of his immigration policies. I quote the Mexican president. Hopefully Hispanics in Florida will wake up and not give him one single vote to not vote for those who persecute migrants, those who don't respect migrants. Speaking at his daily hours-long press conference, Lopez Obrador addressed DeSantis' political future, saying the governor had discovered himself using Mexican political slang for a candidate's, uncovered himself. I'm not sure exactly how different that is. Using Mexican political slang for a candidate's announcement and taking credit for predicting DeSantis' presidential run. Well, come on, President Obrador. We all predicted DeSantis' presidential run. As you can see, I wasn't wrong that all his politicking over migrants was because he wanted to be the Republican Party's candidate. At his Wednesday press conference, Lopez Obrador had bemoaned the politics behind border security and immigration in the United States. We have to be thinking about this regrettable phenomenon of necessary migration used with political ends in the United States, he said, responding to a question from the Hill. The governor of Texas campaigning, saying he will militarize the border and he will continue building the wall. The governor of Florida, the same, because he wants to be the Republican Party candidate, and he's politicking against immigrants, right? I mean, isn't that the way Trump sort of launched his campaign, came down the escalator and said, you know, Mexico is not sending their best people. They're sending us their rapists and their murderers. And some good people, I'm sure.
And drug dealers and some good people, yes. Yes, that seems to be par for the course. If you're running for the conservative Republican mega nomination, yeah, it helps to be a little anti-immigrant. Because, of course, that appeals to the people who are going to vote for you. Because they're also anti-immigrant, which is so, of course, ironic. Because short of the indigenous folks in this country, we're all immigrants.
Yeah, but you shut the door behind you, Dom. And you pick up every ladder. 844-967-2789. Going back to the phones in our fair audience, a patient, Mark from the SAC. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Oh, doing good. It's remarkable that DeSantis is, you know, of course he's going to raise his head because it was just a disaster yesterday. I mean, apparently some of the news media is picking up on the fact that he lied about, you know, the success he had in fighting COVID in Florida, because, you know, he actually sponsored, you know, fired somebody who tried to report the real results of the deaths in Florida from COVID. And it is just, none of the Republican frontrunners are good for the country. I mean, that none of them come out and condemned the insurrection on January 6th. I mean, that it is just, and that's a really galling point to me, is that if you really believe in America, you should have condemned that right away. And but you know, Trump, what he said, oh, pardon those people. Well, no, you shouldn't be pardoning those people. They should be insisting they spent a good deal more time in jail. And the only part of the insurrectionists that are going to get charged here in Wisconsin, and I just think that trial can't come soon enough.
You got to wait until 2024, almost 4 years, Mark, after the incident. Thanks for the call, man.
What sort of political courage does it take, Ron DeSantis, after his disastrous rollout, again, went running to Foxy News to say effectively he would pardon January 6 patriots, you know, and of course, the former president perhaps as well. Well, if a guy is, you know, criminally accused, let's just say, Dom, and you're running for president against that very same guy, why are you so quick? Why would you be so willing to pardon his failures? Because effectively what you're saying
so you
is...
you can get his voters, because if Trump gets an even more headwind and gets indicted or whatever happens, and DeSantis is last man standing, he's going to need Trump's voters to even have a chance against the Dems.
Well, you know, DeSantis went on the Clay and Buck show today, Dom. The, you know, they're the new wannabe Rush Limbaughs. And the difference between them and us is they agree on every topic. I don't even see why there's two of them, you know, except for like fill-ins, like, you know, hey, you want to take off a couple of days? No one will even notice you're gone because we share the same brain and all the same opinions. As soon as I bring you to my opinion, Dom, then we'll share all the same opinions. Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSanctimonious confirmed on Thursday that he would consider pardoning former President Donald Trump for any charges stemming from his attempt to overthrow the 2020 election on January 6, 2021. During an interview on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show on an inferior whitey-righty talk radio network, one down to the dial, DeSantis was asked if he would consider pardons for Trump and other January 6th defendants. I don't really have a DeSantis voice yet, but I'll work on it. But I quote him, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do on day one, I will have folks that will get together and look at all these cases who people are victims of weaponization of political targeting, and we will be aggressive at issuing pardons. Now, some of these cases, some people may have a technical violation of the law, but if there are three other people who did the same thing just in the context like BLM and they don't get prosecuted at all, that is uneven application of justice. Now, you can say it, but it doesn't make it so, Ron. We're going to find examples where we have governments have been weaponized against disfavored groups, and we will apply relief as appropriate. Sexton pressed the candidate about a pardon for Trump. And that could be from a grandma who got arrested and prosecuted too much, all the way up to potentially Trump himself, he wondered. I would say any example of a disfavored treatment based on politics or weaponization would be included in that review, no matter how small or how big, DeSantis confirmed. Or how big.
I mean, this is the guy running against Donald Trump and you know, lamenting that he would, what, pardon
his criminal opponent.
Seditious. I mean, but that, right. But come on. This is your opportunity to take him down, dude. Seditious conspiracy. Dude, Oathkeeper founder just got sentenced today to 18 years. I mean, Trump, what role did Trump play in that? How high up does it go? Well, that guy's doing 18. Why would you possibly? If you know that your competitor was involved in a seditious conspiracy and going down for it, why would you offer that? Because you're so scared of the megas. You need them. You want them. But, oh, God, if you don't give Trump something, if you don't try to win them over, and that's how you're going to do it, then they're not going to show up for you. It is weakness.
You know whose day it is in the barrel? Mark Levin. Levin, the conservative righty-whitey talker.
Yeah.
Put up a link to the Ron DeSantis fundraising page. And the MAGA, they want Levin's ass. Come back. More Devils. The Happier Happy Hour is upon us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
This Memorial Day, pledge to do better. Pledge to remember the fallen. Pledge to honor our veterans.
pledge to make our country a better place to live. We, the member stations of Civic Media, join our voices in saluting those who have come before, those serving now, and those who have given everything to keep us free and truly be the land of
liberty and justice for all.
Thank you to Miss Miller's class at Howe Elementary in Wisconsin Rapids.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard.